Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. You are tuned in to the Move of God, Part 13, right here on the Angels of Melody with your host, Miss Angel on deck. And we just thank God for his many blessings. We thank God for all of you that are tuned in on this evening around the world, here in the USA and all of Africa. We want to say God bless to those of you in the UK and in Jamaica and Canada, all over the world. We just thank God for you tuning in. A lot of you know that we have been having different speakers each week, and I'm telling you, it's been off the chain, off the chain. And we thank God for being in our part 13 of this, talking about the move of God in this pandemic. What is God saying? What is going on? What does he requires of us, even in this lockdown that we have been in? And so we thank God for our speakers on tonight. Our first half, we're going to bring on my good sister. I'm telling you, I thank God for her, Evangelist Mary Frost. We're going to bring her on this first part, and then our second half will be starting up exactly 9 o'clock Eastern time with our very own Pastor Kim Coleman. So right now we're going to click on my sis right now. We thank God for Pastor. We thank God for Evangelist Mary Frost right now. So God bless you, sis. How are you?
God bless you, honey. I am absolutely awesome. It's good to hear your voice, and thank you for inviting me to be a part of this great move of God. I hear you saying that's been off the chain. So that lets me know that God has been in the house, you know, because he's the only one that can turn something loose. Hello, somebody.
That's right. That is right. Well, you can go ahead, woman of God. Go ahead as God give you to go.
Well, all right. All right. I say hello to everybody around the world today. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Evangelist Mary Spirit Fire Frost coming at you live, very live tonight. When my sister and I spoke the other day, she said that we wanted to talk about the moving of God in this time. And I tell you what, since we have been in a shelter in place, I have been digging in deeper than I was before. Now, anybody that knows this evangelist knows that she walks in miracles. God allows me to speak out miracles everywhere I go. As a matter of fact, I've been ministering on Zoom, and just this Monday past, God allowed me to release finances to three different people. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
And that is all in a part of the moving of God. God said, beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You see, Jesus didn't just come to save my soul, but he came to provide for me as well. Can somebody say amen in this house?
Amen.
Let me tell you tonight that God is fighting for you. God is fighting for you. God has already made provision for each and every one of you that calls yourself his child. Now, if you are his child, it's a hands-down done deal. As Pastor Smith used to say, it's a fixed fight. Because God has already got it set in place. You see, the thing that we have got to learn is to get past our own thinking, to get past our own way of thinking and looking and trying to resolve something. Evangelists, yeah. the many times that we are trying to resolve something and come to a conclusion or to find a truth, we are busy, Angel, looking around us.
Yes, yes.
We are busy looking around us. We will confer with friends. We will confer with family. We will get different people's opinion on what do you think about this. God said this to me. What's your thoughts on it? When we don't understand that what God has gave you is something supernatural. And you are trying to get somebody with a carnal mind to give you an answer about what a supernatural God has spoke to you.
My Lord.
We have got to get past our own mindsets. You see, our mindset is where we are stuck at. That's where we settled at. We're talking about a move of God, wanting a move of God, asking for a move of God. God has already placed a movement within you. If somebody better hear me tonight, God has set a movement within you. You are not waiting on God because God said, I already done it. Jesus said, I finished the work and I sat down at the right hand of power.
My Lord.
And so that is where you are supposed to be coming from. From a seated position. And let me tell you, sweetie, you got to have some power to be fighting from a seated position. It'd be like I'm ready to kick your butt and I ain't even going to get up out of this chair. Hello, somebody. We have got to get past our mindsets, Tanya. We've got to get past the stronghold that we have allowed the enemy to set up in our mind. Because many times we can't believe what God is telling us. Because it's so wonderful that our mind cannot conceive what the Spirit from a supernatural standpoint is thinking or speaking to us. Because we have not trained our mind to begin to think at the level of the supernatural.
My Lord.
If we are ever, and we will, trust me, but if you are ever to see a move of God for yourself, you are going to have to transcend a carnal mind.
My God.
You are going to have to step past all your carnal mindsets that's got you stuck in this position that you can't seem to get past. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever found yourself in a place where you feel like that you just keep going around the same mountain, that you keep falling in the same ditch, that you find yourself repeatedly at a point to where you are asking all the same questions and coming up with zero answers?
My Lord Jesus.
I'm fixing to tell you why. One of my very dear friends, her and her husband, pastor a church in Detroit. I was waiting in his church one Sunday morning. I had been asked to speak. I was waiting to be invited into the pulpit. As I sat there, Pastor Paul took the pulpit and he began to exhort. He began to exhort the people. He began to speak to the people. And he said something that was so profound, it grabbed a hold of me. And I'm still using it today. I'm fixing to tell you what it was. And this was probably about 8 years ago that I heard him say this. He said, you cannot grow past what you...
My Lord.
So if you wonder why am I stuck in the same position, you've got to ask yourself, am I allowing the word of God to elevate my mind? Am I allowing the word of God to transform my mind? Am I looking around? Am I asking and running to all the people that I know? Or am I on my face saying, God, give me the understanding. God, give me the interpretation. God, help me to hear what you said. I heard words. I know what the words are. But I need to understand what you're speaking to me in this hour.
My Lord, Jesus.
How many times have you watched somebody? I've done it. I've watched people and cried for them. I've watched people receive a word from a prophet. And I've watched them mess it up because they started trying to make it happen according to their carnal way of thinking.
Trying to figure it out.
Trying to get an answer for a supernatural thing in a natural mind. You see, I must grow past. I must grow past my natural mind and my natural way of thinking. God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What mind was it that was in Christ Jesus? What kind of a mind did the Savior have? Even when he was walking in flesh, he knew who he was. At 12, he was ready to finish this project, get crucified, and go back home. Did somebody hear what I just said?
Yes, my God.
Jesus was ready to get crucified at 12 because he had come to understand fully who he was. Many of us do not understand who we are. We do not understand that we are kings and that we are priests and that we walk around with power on the end of our tongue. That God said that power of life and death rests within your mouth.
My God.
And whether you understand it or not, you are either breathing out blessing or cursing on your own life.
Jesus.
On your own life, in your own life, on your own kids. A move of God. That is what we are needing. That is what we are needing. We sit and we talk about how God used to, what God did back years ago. We talk about the Smith Wigglesworth, and we talk about the A.A. Allens and the Catherine Kuhlmans, and we talk about the R.W. Shambachs and John G. Lake and all these people, oh my God, to just go on and on and on, of the men and the women that God used, and mighty outpourings came through those people because they stepped past. They stepped past who they thought they were and began to allow God to shape them into who he wanted them to be. They began to submit. I know we don't use words like that today. They began to surrender. They began to lay out on their face prostrate. They began to push that plate back and say, I'm not satisfied anymore in this world. I've tasted of the one to come. Now use me for your glory.
Yes. My God.
Woo! Hayashidi Yosa. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to give it up. They were willing to step past all my wants, all my hopes, all my dreams, all my American dream. Let's get it and get on with it. Many of us are sitting waiting to die, biding our time, just waiting for the last breath to leave your body. That is not God's plan for you.
That's right. That's right.
Hold up somewhere in a house. Hold up somewhere by the lake. Hold up somewhere. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. Well, if you do, what you doing for him? What are you allowing him to do in you? One of my favorite people to speak of. He's one of my heroes of faith. He is one of my heroes of hope. You see, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I didn't have a mama, didn't have a daddy, didn't have nobody. I was thrown away at 15 months old. But God came by and said, I'll take her. Oh, Somebody hearing me tonight. Honey,
yes.
It ain't about your mama. It ain't about your daddy. It ain't about what area you came from, what position that you hold in life. It ain't about how much money you got in the bank and how much you don't got in the bank. From the cardboard box to the king castle, God is looking for somebody that will simply surrender and say, here I am, use me.
Yes, say it. My God.
I'm talking about my hero of hope. One of my heroes of the faith. He's known as the catalyst. Does anybody know what a catalyst is? He's known as the catalyst of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. He had that man says the deck stacked against him as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I shouldn't be here to talk to you tonight.
Mm.
But God.
But God.
Let me tell you, the supernatural supersedes anything that this world can throw at you. The supernatural has already overcame everything that the devil can try to throw at you. God has gave us scriptures. He's gave us benefits. He's left us a roadmap and a word to use. He said in his word, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. I was walking through my house the other day, and I heard that scripture start through my mind, Tanya. And as it came through my mind, God broke it on down. I think simple. I talk simple. My mom told me, Mary, you talk as flat as a plate. God began to break it on down for me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God said, Mary, I have already gave a command. I have already commanded every weapon that can be formed against you to fail.
My Lord, yes.
Y'all better hear that and grab hold of it and say, that's for me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
You see, every weapon that was formed against William Seymour couldn't stop the move that was inside that man of God.
Yes. My God.
Slavery had just been ended. He was the son of a slave in the Deep South. He was a man of color in an era where it was really dangerous to be a man of color. But that didn't stop him. He had one eye. That didn't stop him. You see, many of us have bodies that are whole and working perfectly, but we can find an excuse of why we can't do what God is laying on us or calling us to do. Do you know the reason that you don't do what God is calling you to do? Because you are self-centered and selfish. You got your eye on you instead of your eye on the greater good.
Say it again. I know that's right. My God.
The reason that you are not obeying God is because you are selfish, you are self-centered, you have got your eye on you instead of the move of God that God has placed within you.
That's right.
We're going to have to get past. You are going to have to come on past. Let me tell you, there ain't enough demons, devils in hell. There ain't enough demons or devils walking the face of this planet to stop you, to block you, or to turn you around. If you have got your eye on the cross, if you have got your eye on the work, the finished one that said, I finished it, and I sat down, and I gave you power to do what I left you to do in this world. You ain't here by accident.
Yes, my Lord.
I don't care if your mama did call you boo-boo. You ain't no accident.
I know that's right. That's right. My God.
God is calling. God is waking your spirit up today. God is waking you up right now, right where you're sitting,
Lord.
In your place of hiding, in your place of running, in your place of sheltering, away from the presence of God. God is waking you up right now. I pray that he set a fire up underneath your feet. That will set you on a running course, heading to glory.
Yes, Lord.
William Seymour had everything that could stacked against him. And he heard about there's more to this thing. He became hungry for the Holy Ghost. He traveled from the deep south over into Texas and began to listen to a man over there, can't remember his name right now, that was preaching about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He had a school of prophets going on. William came to him and asked him if he could. And the gentleman told him that he would love for him to be able to. But because of the Jim Crow laws, that he couldn't allow him to come into the classroom. He said, but they can't stop you from sitting in the hallway.
My God.
Now, many of us would get offended right there and say, forget you.
Yep. You're right.
But he had his eyes, Tanya, set on something greater. And he sat in that hallway and he listened to the teachings. And the teacher began to see how that the anointing was resting upon this man. So the teacher began to invite William Seymour to go with him. When he would go minister in different places, he said, they won't allow me to minister to the people of color, but they can't stop you from ministering to the people of color. Is somebody hearing me?
Yes. My God.
And Seymour continued in that vein. Seymour finally, after a few years, got a call to come and pastor a church in New York. He went all the way up to New York from Texas. And when he got there, he preached one sermon, and they locked him out the church. They locked him out because of the hunger and a reality that he was preaching about the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
What?
The infilling of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the power of God himself that will move nations, that will shake kingdoms, and that will change the heart of men and women on the face of this planet.
My God, yes, Lord.
Now he's locked out. He ain't got no home. He hasn't got no job. He's in a strange city. He just got there. He just arrived. There was another minister in the city, a white man. I don't even like to divide color. White man was there, and he invited him into his home. He invited him into his home, and they began to have prayer services. The gentleman brought William into his home, and they'd get up in the morning and they'd pray until the man had to go to work, and William would stay in the house and pray. He'd come back in the evening, they'd have dinner, and they'd go into prayer until it was time to go to bed. William was spending all his time praying. How much time are you giving to prayer? I'm not talking about saying a prayer. I'm talking about praying a prayer. I'm talking about one that devils will tremble at. I'm talking about one that will shake nations, that will cause you to stand before kings and speak the word, and they will tremble at the presence of God that resides inside you.
Yes. My God.
I'm talking about a move of God.
Yes.
I'm talking about the authentic thing, the original.
My Lord.
William continued in prayer. Sometime after that, William had an opportunity There was a building that he sought out,
yeah.
And it was presented to him. But, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't a castle. It wasn't a clean house. It was a livery stable that had been sitting dormant, empty, for a number of years. That had a big upstairs that had been used just to throw stuff in. But the stable still stunk.
Mm.
The livery stable still had dung and feces, urine from the animals that resided in that building, in them stalls at a point in time. But William looked past.
Yes.
William looked past. What are you looking past to? Are you busy looking around, or are you looking past to the move that God is seeking to birth from inside your being?
Yes. Mm.
He spoke to the disciples, and not just to the disciples, because in John's gospel, in the 17th chapter, Jesus stood right before they came and arrested him and took him. He stood and he prayed for me. He prayed for you in that 17th chapter of St. John.
Yes.
It's recorded.
Mm.
And in Matthew's gospel, when he was leaving and he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And I'm giving it to you. I'm delegating this power to you. You go forth teaching, preaching, heal the sick, open blind eyes, raise the dead, baptize them. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Today
yeah,
we're a bunch of posh, cushy, lay up somewhere, what we call Christian. We need to take a look at ourselves in light of that word Christian. And they were first called Christian at Antioch because they were like Christ.
My Lord.
That is not a label or a title, but it is a way of living, a way of being like Christ. Many can speak the name Jesus, and that's about
yes.
all that they know.
That's right. That is right.
William went into that livery stable, and he continued to pray. He went in there and he began to clean that mess out. He began to clean up that mess. He began to wash down them stables. He began to clear it out. What are you washing and cleaning up to prepare for a move of God?
Mm. Jesus.
What are you giving up and sacrificing for the move that you say you seek?
Mm.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, focus is mastery. Whatever you are focused on the most has mastered you. William mm-hmm. cleaned that place up. He found a barrel and set his face in that barrel and began to pray and call on God. And he said, God, I'm not moving until you show up in my barrel.
Yes,
until
Lord.
You show up. I refuse to let go of you. I've laid a hold of you. I've tasted of you. I know that you're real. The Holy Ghost is igniting my soul.
Yes. Jesus.
The fire of God is burning within my being, and I can't turn you loose. I refuse to let go until you show up. And because one man stepped past, looking around, and continued to look into the supernatural, heavens opened up, and this earth was rocked underneath the power of Pentecost. People still talk about it today. It was called the Azusa Street outpouring.
Yes.
One man's hunger and one man's thirst and one man's sacrifice that shouldn't, according to some people's mindset, shouldn't have been in the running, shouldn't have been in the race, but he outran everybody.
Yes, my Lord.
And he touched the throne of God, moving heaven, causing heaven to come to earth. That is what we are supposed to be doing.
Yes, Jesus.
That revival was felt in the UK. It was felt all over Europe. It was felt in China. It was felt in Africa. There were people that came, Tanya, from all over the world because the mouths were speaking it. We didn't have internet. We didn't have television. We didn't have the way we got media today. But God has a media. Is anybody hearing me? Them that are hungry, them that are thirsting, them that catch a glimpse of his glory and are forever changed. They can never go back to who they were and what they were. It is recorded in history that people that were coming to that meeting at Azusa Street, 8 blocks away, they couldn't even get to the house, to the barn, to the livery stable. Ain't that a revelation? Jesus came to a livery stable the first time. And the second time that we read about an outpouring in a livery stable was for a man of color, a one-eyed ex-slave that was in a barn. Not in a cathedral. You know, some of us, Tanya, we can't pray.
Yeah.
We can't worship. But the air conditioning ain't on. We can't, you know, I can't worship. I paid $500 to get this hair looking like this. I am not going up in that building and ruining this hairstyle.
My God.
Is somebody hearing me today?
My
what are you giving up? What are you stepping past? Or what are you allowing to hold you up? What has snagged you in the britches and you ain't moved nowhere? You looking for a position but refuse to assume the position that will get you a position in a higher court. Oh, it's quiet.
My
Oh, it's
Lord.
Quiet. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and I told her, I said, you know what? I said, it just absolutely was in my head, and I'm like, God, what's going on? What is this? This is only the second time ever in history at Passover that people were captured in their homes. The first time, God said, stay behind the blood. Put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and don't go in the street. He said, because I'm going through Egypt tonight. You know, people that preach that, I hear them preaching that the death angel went through Egypt on that night. Do you know how wrong they are? The death angel did not go through Egypt. God himself said, I am going through Egypt tonight, Moses, and I'm going to smite the firstborn from Pharaoh's house all the way through
Jesus.
The cattle. Stay behind the blood, Moses.
Jesus.
Don't be caught in the street, because the only thing I'm looking for is the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass. That's the word. Get in the book and read it.
My God.
And here we find ourselves again in 2020 at Passover, confined to quarters. What are you doing, God?
My God.
Creator, what are you doing? What's going on? what's taking place. You don't make no mistake. This thing that hit this world was a man-made thing that got out of a laboratory. Ask me how I know. I knew before anybody else spoke anything. I was praying. When you are a praying woman or a man, God will speak things to you. He will whisper secrets in
That's
your
right.
ears that you can't speak to nobody else. He will tell you what is taking place so you don't get caught off guard.
My God, yes.
This did not get past him. It is not his doing. Jesus help
us. My Lord.
But what
yes,
are
God.
We laying down? What are we giving up? What are we sacrificing? David the king, when it came time to step to the altar, he bought the threshing floor. And the man that owned it said, no, take it. I'll give it to you. David said, no, you won't. He said, you ain't giving me nothing because I am not offering my God anything that don't cost me something.
My Lord Jesus.
Where are we at today, ladies and gentlemen, around this world? I pray that you're hearing. I pray that you didn't hang up yet. I pray that you're listening. I pray that your heart is on fire. I pray that your spirit is burning with the glory of an almighty God. That it, you
yes.
are one that is standing, that is looking and waiting and watching, ready
yes,
in
Jesus.
Place, just waiting to hear him say, move.
My God.
What is it? Why is it that we are not seeing what the Word of God said that we can see? What
That's
is
right.
it? What is it, ladies and gentlemen? What is the reason of why we are not seeing and doing the things? There are evidences. There are fruits. There are truths. And there are proofs that God is who he says that he is.
Yes, my God.
Why are we not seeing them today? We want to talk about what he did way back there. But what is he doing today? He said, I am God and I don't change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus in his command said, go you unto all the world preaching this gospel, baptizing
right.
them, lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil, and they shall recover. Open blind eyes. Heal the cripple. Straighten crippled bodies. Raise the dead. Let them see that I'm still walking this planet.
Yes, my God, Jesus.
We are living in a day where people are going to have to see, Tanya.
That's right.
We are living in a day where people need truth and proof.
That's right.
And God is not short or shy of either one.
That's right.
What he is short and shy of is people that will dedicate themselves fully unto God, a one that is met the master's use.
Yes, my God.
One, he said there is many vessels. In the New Testament, he was talking. He said, in the master's house, there are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. There are vessels that are meant for the master's use. I don't know about you, but I'm a tea drinker. Love tea.
Yeah.
And I have my favorite cups that I like to drink from, Tanya. I have got a galore of cups and glassware and crystal and china, but I have my favorites. Do you hear what I'm saying today?
Yeah.
I have my favorites. That if I go to get a cup of tea, I go for that cup. Is somebody hearing me? I will reach for that cup because that cup fits my hand just right. That cup will hold the amount that I want it to hold. That cup will last through all the things that I'm doing, and it will sit there and wait for me to move it. Is somebody hearing me?
Yes, yes, yes.
God is ever present, never failing. Ever moving and never changing.
That's
ever
right.
Moving. He has not changed, Tanya. We
no,
changed.
Yes. That's right.
We changed.
That is right.
One of my dear, dear friends, my bishop, I'm actually an ordained reverend under his ministry, Bishop Dwight Pate from out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The original oil slinger, they call him.
That's right.
I've seen him walk the floor and minister many days, many nights. I ministered at his elbow for almost a year while we were in the Detroit revival. And many times I would hear him look out with tears in his eyes. And he would tell the congregation, he said, "You have learned how to have church without God."
Sure did.
Learned how to have a form of godliness, but lacking in power. What are we setting aside? What are we letting go of? What are we putting down? What
are
we sacrificing? What are you willing to sacrifice? Tanya, I tell them this way, and I know people laugh at me because they laugh at me when I'm in front of them. I said, I've walked past many a good-looking man to get to you. Somebody real hears what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a price to pay. I tell people this way. Salvation is free, but holiness is going to cost you.
My Lord.
Salvation is free, my brothers and my sisters. But holiness is going to cost you. There is a price. Are you willing to pay it?
Jesus.
There is a power. Woo! That
Jesus.
Is still emanating from the throne of an almighty God that is infiltrating the world that we live in. The supernatural invading this nasty now.
Yes, my God.
Bring proof that he still is on the throne.
That's right.
And in reading this word, I found out that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repent, not your 50-pound hammer. Did somebody hear what I just said?
Yeah.
It is the goodness of God that leads men to repent. Not the club that you carry trying to beat them into hell.
Jesus.
I'll let that one settle for just another second because I got more to say. Running out of time. I'm running out of time on this line. I ain't running out of no time. But my time on this line, I'm going to have to exit the microphone.
Yes. My God.
We have got to begin to stir up the gifts that are within us. We have got to begin to lay down ourselves on the altar of sacrifice. I have got to begin to think with power instead of being suppressed, oppressed, depressed, and possessed. I have got to begin to think with a mind of power and allow God's presence to transform my mind. mind to where I can hear the keys of deliverance rattle every time I stand up and begin to open my mouth. I can hear deliverance already before it ever hits your mind.
My God. Yes.
You see, it's in a knowing, not in a hoping and a wishing and a wishing and hoping and thinking. It's in a knowing. Do you know who he is? Do you know what he did? Do you know what he's still doing? Do you know what he will do for you if you will lay yourself sacrificed on your altar? Build him an altar. Lay yourself on it and watch God show up.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want a move of God. God wants a move of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I turn you back into the hands of the angel of melody, Tanya.
Yes. Amen. My God, y'all. I'm telling you, powerful, powerful message on tonight. We thank God. We thank God. Hallelujah. We heard a word tonight. Yes, we definitely got to have our sister back on. We definitely, y'all will be hearing again, Evangelist Mary Frost. You will hear her on this move of God. We got to get her back on in another week. I'm telling you, we thank God, and I thank God for you, sis, for being on with us tonight. And y'all know this is our part one of the Move of God, part 13. Yes, right here on the Angels of Melody with your host, Miss Angel on Deck. And we want you all, y'all know how we do it. We do part two, which will be the Move of God, part 14. And that's going to be with our very own sister, Pastor Kim Coleman. Yes, so we want y'all to give us about 10 minutes. Y'all know how we do it. Call this same number back in 10 minutes, and you will hear from another dynamic, awesome woman of God. We'll be back in 10 minutes. Call back. God bless you.